And if you understood what I was talking about, I just told you my Chinese name. I've been living in this country. Does anyone know its name? Can you see it at the back? Can you hear me at the back? Am I speaking too quickly? Yes, okay. I'll try and speak slowly. Annie will give me the indication when I become too fast. Thank you, Annie, yep. Because I do get very nervous. So anyway, this is my country that I've lived in for the last 27 years. Okay, called Taiwan. When I first went there, I couldn't speak a word of Chinese. But most of us in Taiwan live on the green side of the island because it's flatter, and where our rice and all our vegetables are growing in the tropics. And we are the same size as one third of the North Island. So that would be Northland and Auckland. Would that be right? Out to the Bay of Plenty? Just that strip. If you ever, like, it's a long island, or if you know the South Island, the same size as Canterbury and the West Coast. Okay, and as you can see, all mountains, like as high as Mount Cook or higher, no snow, because we're in the tropics, like Brisbane. Okay, and we are 24 million people. 24 million. So, 20 million live on the green strip. There's one big highway north to south of cities and motorways. We now have the, the bullet train. It travels at 485 kilometres an hour. It takes 1.5 hours from north to south. Okay, so it's really fast. And that goes every day from 6 in the morning till midnight, going north and south every 15 minutes. And it's full. So 12 carriages, 60 seats, chock-a-block, going north and south most of the day. And, of course, we've got our cars, our motorbikes, our other trains and the buses and everything. You get an idea, if New Zealand was like Taiwan, population-wise, we would be 150 million people. Okay, can you imagine New Zealand, 150 million people here. So they think that we've got plenty of space to share with the world because we're very lightly populated. But anyway, the third reading we had today was from Acts, wasn't it? It was the story of how Paul and Barnabas had been out on their first mission trip to Cyprus and Turkey. And then they came back through some of those towns and back into Antioch, their sending church, to report about what they did. And that's what I'm going to do today, let you hear about what God has been doing through me and through you because of all your prayers and giving, how Greyfriars Epson has been involved in Taiwan. So when you see this, this is what you have been doing. It's not just me, we're a team, and God has used us as a team to help the young people of Taiwan know about Jesus. So I'm going to get some pictures going. How does this thing work? I've got it all turned on. Oh, right, speeded along too far. Okay, there we are, Taiwan. We're right beside a large country called China. That's all we are. We're beside it. That's it. And we are the shape, some people say, of a leaf. And as you go into the south, you come to the area called Tainan and the city of Tainan City. Tainan City, where I've been living for the last 19 of my years, has got 700,000 people, but in an area the size of Tauranga. Okay, 700,000 in Tauranga. Can you imagine what life would be? So, where do I live? Better show you my home. And there it is. When you see the zebra hair salon, that's on the first floor or ground floor of what we'd say in New Zealand. And beside it, there is a doorway going into a large tenement block, set of apartments. And then you get on the lift and up you go to the seventh floor. And there's my bedroom. Can you see that? Beside it's my flatmate's bedroom. And behind that's another bedroom, two bathrooms, a lounge to hold 30 people for our meetings, a kitchen and a balcony to hang our clothes out. And because we're in the tropics, you put your clothes out on the line at midnight and you dry by 3 a.m. Okay, it's nice and hot and warm. It's 11 months of the year. We have 4 weeks of winter. Yeah. Okay, what do? I have two jobs. God has called me to work with teenagers in the high schools and the universities of Tainan, and these are my Taiwanese co-workers. Two of them are my flatmates. You might as well know who they are. Oh, I just think went backwards. Wrong way. Back we go. Okay. This here, Sigrid and Jane are my two flatmates. I've lived with them for the last 7 years. And we've been involved in the high school work. We've got 15 high schools and 7 universities. And I only do the high school work. In other words, my involvement, when I went there, there were 7 high school groups. And I've been involved in getting up new groups going. So there's another 8 have been what I've been involved in. And my secretary, who writes everything up for me in Chinese, is this young girl here. Her English name is Jessica, so I depend on her a lot. So that's why I don't use a computer. I do not type Chinese. She does, and that's what I do all the time. And then we take Bible studies and talks. Now, as well as taking meetings during the week, we have training events on the weekend to help the students or the adults to be Christian fellowship leaders in the schools, and then we have camps in the summer and winter. Is that too fast? Okay, righto. Okay, so what do? On a Monday, this is one of the groups that I've been involved in. For about 40 minutes, we help the young people know about God. Always at the end of a meeting, we pray for everybody. Everybody likes to be prayed for, and it's part of running a Christian fellowship in school time. Then on the 3 years ago, when I just went back, I went further north to another place called Jai to help out a group of 5 schools that had just got together and started up a Christian fellowship on Friday nights. But most of the time, I'm with 4 groups each day of the week, 1 group a day. The first group is this group here. And the story is 6 or 7 years ago, this young girl, her English name is Rita, but her Chinese name is Bo Jin. She came to me and said, she's a year 12 child, said, I would love to share Jesus with my friends. They won't come to church because it just doesn't seem right on the weekend to do that. But I'd like to do it in school with my schoolmates. So we started up a Christian fellowship across the road from the school at 5 o'clock at night till 7. That's in between classes finishing and cram school starting. Because the youth in Taiwan go to school 7:30 in the morning till 5 and then to cram school 7 o'clock till 9:30. So they're free between 5 and 7. So we got the group going, and these are her non-Christian friend who came along and was very interested in becoming a Christian. And this young girl I trained up to be my co-leader. She was a university student, 22 years of age, and we ran this group for 2 years. At the end of 2 years, Rita graduated and went to university. And then God made the group bigger. So when we left, there was only Rita, and she was very worried there'd be no new people, but God brought a whole lot of new students coming for the next few years. And so, as you can see, we start the meeting off with food, because they're hungry at 5 o'clock, get something to keep them going. And then we have Bible studies, as well as worship and games, and teaching about Christianity. Sometimes it's not just a case of taking the whole group. We do one-on-one counselling to make sure where are they at with God. But when I left in June of this year, that was the size of the group. That is what God has done. And Rita herself was sure that God wanted her to come back to Tainan to be a full-time worker. She's now in my office. When I go back in February next year, God willing, she will be sitting right beside me. She is now taking 2 high school groups herself. She's graduated from university. Now, this other group is interesting. 2 years ago, after a camp, these 5 young students, there they are, 1, 2, 3, that's Jessica and me, we ran the group, and there's the other 2. They came to us at a camp and said, we would love to share Jesus with our friends. We're a Catholic school. You're not allowed to do it in school time. So we said, no problems. We'll meet in the holidays and tell you how to get going. So that day, it was a huge typhoon, and we met. Can you see where we met? That's right, McDonald's. Yes, we met in McDonald's with a huge typhoon bucketing everywhere and ate McDonald's and discussed how you get a group going, how you go and encourage people to come. And then 3 weeks later, the new school year starts in September. We found a church, 2 minute walk from the school gate. Start off, as you can see, there's some food there. We have worship together, just a few of us, and some games. And that was all it was the first year. And then last year, we also taught about Easter, Christmas and Easter, the two things that you talk a lot about. And we were washing hands as opposed to washing feet. Made our Easter eggs, talked about why Jesus died on the cross. And then by Christmas last year, God had made the group bigger. And so we've got 5 non-Christians and about 7 Christians in this group. And that's what God has done through one school, through one to a few kids who want to share God. So they're excited. As you can see, Jessica's there. And she's now, while I'm not in Taiwan, running the group on her own. So pray for Jessica. She's only 26. She's new to it all, but she's willing to do it and help these students. Where's the next one? Is it not going to move? Where do I poke this thing to make it go? Oh, here we are. And every May, we have all the Christian fellowships in Tainan, the 15, get together and we sing Christian songs to all their friends who they've invited to have the singing competition. And these two groups I've showed you about, Rita's group and this one with Jessica, they came first and second. And if your Chinese is good, you will see she's got a 2 there, and this guy's got a 1 there, because we came first and second, they were quite excited. Anyway, on Wednesday lunchtimes, there's a school right up in the very north of Tainan County, and they had got a group going for a youth group at church. Said they came along to school and said, can we have Christian fellowship at school and talk about Jesus to our friends? So I was going there each lunchtime, had to drive the car, and there's with these group of kids who were keen to share Jesus. And then right up in the very north on Tuesday afternoons, there's this other group that got going several years ago. And here I am training them up how to be leaders. So in each Christian fellowship at school, you have student leaders. And here I am training them how to welcome the new students that turn up in September. So we're still in September. All these kids now are busy welcoming year 11s into school, into Christian fellowship, and caring and encouraging them to come along to Christian fellowship. And this is a group when we celebrated Easter earlier on this year. As you can see, they've got their Easter eggs there. And here we had a jigsaw puzzle with all the main verses to do with Easter, discussed about what Easter was all about. In this group, we've got 2 Christians and the rest are non-Christian. And I said, look, why do you come to Christian fellowship? Every week they turn up. They said, we love the fellowship. We love the being cared for and prayed for. And we want to know who this God is. In Taiwan, we have many, many gods to pray to. Taoism and stuff like that, Buddhism, and worshipping your ancestors. But for them to know about Jesus, that's special. They don't hear it clearly. And there's only 4% Christian in Taiwan, so there's still huge needs. And then, of course, you've got to have adults to run the Christian fellowship, so I'm involved in training them up, a few there. We have training sessions in our home. And then, like last summer, we ran a big training day to teach the adults, the 30 adults who help us run these Christian fellowships in schools, how to do it. And as we have students take on the leadership, we have a training day for them. So we use this coat. Now, what is good about coat? Not the bad things that we want to use it with youth. Any ideas? You can answer me. It's safe to drink and it's good to drink. So let you be a good student leader in your Christian fellowship. Be on fizzing for Jesus Christ, you know. And so be alive to God, be alive to Jesus, and help your friends know about the Christian fellowship. So here we are. We hand it over from the year 13s here, handing over a Coke bottle to the new leader in their group when we're handing over leadership. And training them that day how to be a student leader at school. So I was involved in that, of course. You know, what kind of program, what kind of meetings will we have? How do you lead the worship time? How do you run the games? All these things we teach the students and let them do it. In other words, we're trying to get them empowered. They can do it. They don't need to rely on the missionary or us adult leaders. We're trying to help the students learn how to stand on their feet, rely on God, and let him and God work through them to share Jesus with their friends. And, of course, summer and winter is camps. Here we are with the big Bible camp that we had just early July of this year. And I usually am involved in training up small group leaders. We had 28 small group leaders for our 14 small groups, and I was involved in training them up. So if you can't see in the picture, this is our camp, thing that we send out to every school. Bible path. So we're teaching about the Old Testament, the New Testament, how to read the Bible, and I was involved in some of the teaching of that. But anyway, what do you teach kids to how to run a small group in a camp? You have to teach them, how do we take the quiet times, the Bible times? How do we share at night? How do we play games? So we teach them all those things. How to do one-on-one counselling, hear what the students are really struggling with. So here I am teaching them games. It's not all, dreary Bible teaching. But, we play the games, have about an hour of teaching, about 10 different games you can do in small groups to make the fellowship great and understand God's love. And these ladies, 19 years ago, like Ainsley, they were my students. That's okay, Ainsley, isn't it? Say that number. Yeah. 19 years ago when I went to Tainan, and now they're young mums and they're wanting to share Jesus with their children. And so we have a Bible study for young mums in one of their homes, and children of 0 to 3 years of age, and they don't hear much on Sunday because they're with their kids, like the mums are at the moment. And here they are when they farewelled me this middle August before I came back to New Zealand this year. And in the afternoon on the Thursday morning, young mums, afternoons, I'm teaching a young girl at our church who's in charge of all the children, so a bit like Lena, and just how we're going on a one-on-one Bible study so that she's got something to give spiritually to the kids that she's been training for the last 5 years. So that's my weekly life. Now you know what I do during the week. Now let's go on to the weekend. What do people do on the weekend who do youth work? It's a church, that's right. And this is a Prezi church because I'm a press button, like Greyfriars are. And so I work in the Prezi church of Taiwan. And this large church has got about 40 young people in the youth group. And when I went there 9 years ago, no youth group leaders. Or they had leaders, but they had never been trained, didn't know what to do other than watch the kids be good on Saturday night when they came to youth group. I didn't know how to take a Bible study. I didn't know how to do anything else but get the kids to be good watching a video about Jesus. So not very good, and it's all the kids knew. So teaching these kids, we have 4 small groups now because I've been involved in training up leaders in the youth group. That's been my youth group for the first 2 years I went back. This is the last year I've been there. But these are the main people I work most of the time with, my small group leaders, my leaders of youth group. This guy has been with me for the 9 years. He now knows how to run youth group. When I've come home to Greyfriars, he's run it really well. Especially last time I went back, he did it so well, I said, well, I think now we need to start praying for a youth pastor to replace me, and then I can go to another church, because you know what to do. So that's what God's done for him. And he is also very sure that God has called him to be a youth leader until the age of 65. He's committed to youth group for life. So that's good, eh? And as well as that, this young girl, she's been doing it for 3 years. This guy's a professor at the local university. He takes the university small group. So we have 3 small groups of high schoolers and 1 small group is uni students. So I've been involved in training them up. Will it go? Yep. Every Thursday night, youth leaders get together in my home or in a McDonald's or someone else's home to pray for youth group kids, to pray for what God wants us to do with the youth group. And these are the ones I've left behind. And some of you have known that I've been training up. God did provide a youth pastor last year. When he arrived, I said to him, here he is, I said, Uten, have you been a youth group? He said, no. He said, I've done children's work. So I spent this last year teaching him how to write Bible studies for young teenagers. Like, just to give you an idea, he'd never had any idea. So the first Bible study he prepared for me on homosexuality, because that's what the kids want to do, he pulled out all the wrong verses, and he was going to get all these 12 and 13-year-olds to discuss, were these verses right or wrong? He had no idea what works for 12 and 13-year-olds. In other words, you could be very concrete. You don't sort of waffle about on stuff that even adults don't know. But anyway, he's gradually learnt how to make the Bible verses, the Bible studies, more relevant to the students and help them understand. But anyway, that's him. That's Uten. So he's now in charge. And then when I went back in 13, the year 2013, Enoch, the guy who's been there for many years, he said to me, while you're gone, some of the students came to me and said, we want to learn how to do worship in a more, you know, up-to-date young people's way with the, you know, the bass and the drums and that. And so when I came back, we started teaching, we made up a group called Seraphim. In other words, you know, the Seraphim's in Isaiah, worshipping God. And it's got two wings. One part of the training is teach them about worship, how playing the various instruments and singing properly. The other half, which is equally important, is teaching them to read the Bible every day and to be close to God. Because if you're close to God, you can lead people to worship the God you know. If you don't know God, how can you be a worship leader? And teach them how to lead prayer, how to pray themselves, how to lead prayer, how to talk about their own testimony, how to prepare that and say that. So 2 to 3 is Mark, I've been involved in teaching, and 3 to 4, the students and Zells practice the songs or practice doing the worship, and we have classes for them. So there they are, leading worship, the fun and games of it all. That's our uniform. We've also taken the students, leaders on, in the Seraphim group away on a 2-day holiday, sort of like a training time, and also to get them to be a team, to be a fellowship. So here we are, we took them, when we got down to the beach, we took them on a night safari walk for 2 hours. Why do you think we'd have hats on and sticks and gumboots? Snakes are in the trees that we walked around that night for 2 hours. And there's toads and there's other animals that could be a bit dangerous. But anyway, the next morning we all had our quiet time together. In the afternoon, I took them snorkeling. And then at night time, we all got together and shared about where we were with God, where we were with the worship, what we had hoped to learn in the next year, and just helped to bring the fellowship together and pray for each other. We've also had camps every summer and winter, and so we've just had a water fight there, that one. But at night time, we had the students responding to God's love and what they wanted prayer for, so they came together to be prayed for. So can you see me in the back there, praying for kids? But they all came up to all us leaders up on the stage and responding. What's happened here? Oh, here we are. Another activity to bring the fellowship up, making jam. And as we have adult leaders in the youth group, we all have student leaders. And so you have to train them up. What does a student leader do? Well, they have to decide what kind of program to have, how to share their love with the new students coming in at the 12-year-olds anyway. And just teach them how to lead worship, take songs, take games. So there's 10 of these kids need to be trained every September. And that's when they were trained last year. And, I mean, we go away for 2 days in this winter time for another, get them together, enjoy fellowship, being a leadership team, and teach them a bit more. And then, as well as having small group times and youth group, we have big groups. So sometimes it's to watch a movie, sometimes it's to share birthdays. So every 3 months we celebrate those 3 months of people's birthdays. So here we are cutting the cakes, and everybody's got their cake to eat. And we've taken off to pray with other people in Tainan for the church. At Christmas time, what do you do in Taiwan? Go to work, go to school. But the night before Christmas, we walk around the streets sharing God with all the neighbours and the shopkeepers because they don't finish work till 10. So we blow up 300 balloons. On it's written, the name of our church and Jesus loves you. We give out tracts and we give out lollies. So there they are, taking the balloons to share with everybody on the street, on their motorbikes, on their cars and in the shops. As you can see, they're dressed up to act out the Christmas story. These are all the kids dressed up as angels with halo around their head. There we are. There's Jesus. There's Joseph, Mary. You can see the star and the wise men behind. We had Jesus born in the park that night at about 9:30 at night. So everybody can come and watch us doing that and singing songs. And then last year, we did a modern take. If Jesus was born in 2015, what would it look like? So we thought we'd go down to the beach, the local beach area. So you've got still got Jesus and the mother and the father, and we've got the three wise men dressed up as policemen, and travellers and condemned going to visit them. But and Jesus was born behind a hotel in its rubbish truck area, you know, where the rubbish is piled, so something like that. We go and sing songs there. After youth group on Saturday night, let's stay together, enjoy fellowship. So off we go to the local night market at 10 o'clock at night and get home at midnight. Yeah. And we also get together as leaders to pray about what we do. When you get baptised in Taiwan, you always give flowers. So that's what we give to people here. So last year at Christmas, we had 5 kids decide that they were going to be Christians. So that was exciting in the youth group, and they're keen to do that. And these are the students. These ones are going off to work now. So in other words, they're leaving youth group. Where do they go? These ones, girls there, are going off to university. We hope that when they go onto a university campus, they'll find a new church in the new area they've gone to. But we're worried about when kids come out of youth group, especially they come out of university, what happens? So a few years ago, we started up the Young People's Bible group. And so we get together every night on a Sunday. This is from 4:30 till 6:30, 2 hours of Bible study and time together. So we had Christmas together last year. And then they said goodbye to me when I left them in August, just a few weeks ago. As you can see, they're quite young, but, you know, all in their 20s. This couple here, oh, disappeared. Where's my, oh, I've lost my pictures. There, all right, that's better. Okay. Oh, well, we'll just go slowly. Ah, right, that one. Okay, this couple here are not Christians, but they're friends, and who have come along, and their baby, they are still learning about who Christ is. So even sharing, teaching them how to share their faith with their friends at work or bring them along to the Young Workers Bible study. So that's basically my life. Just because in Greyfriars now, we are now looking to have a cross-cultural church. And there's the Kiwi way to do church, there's the Asian way to do church, and it's quite different. And just to give you an idea of a typical Sunday for me, we start church at 9:30 till 11:15. And then the youth group has their prayer meeting from 11:30 till 12 o'clock on the 6th floor. Then we go off for lunch together. At 12:30 we come back and have a Bible study on Romans till 2:15. Have a rest, and then we have the Seraphim training music group, 2 to 4 o'clock. And then the students go home, and then the adults, we have our Young Workers Bible study, 4:30 till 6:30. So in other words, we're staying together all day to learn about Christianity, learn about God, and enjoy fellowship together. That is very Asian. So when we think Greyfriars, how we do things, in the future, we have to consider different ways in which we can be together to worship God, be together to enjoy fellowship. And so all our elders' meetings are all held on Sunday, straight after church. And we have a lunchbox and shared food, and then we discuss what we're going to discuss till 2 o'clock. And then we sort of spread out and go to our home groups between 2 and 3:30. We don't have time during the week to get together because we work long hours till 7:30 before we come home. So just to be aware, as we move into this new way of doing church as a cross-cultural church, we've got to think of many things. So just ask you to think of these, and I'll be praying for you guys. And thank you for being part of my life, praying for me. And many people have been very generous in gifts, supporting me that I can live in Taiwan. But it's not been Judith, it's been all of Greyfriars have been involved. If needed, we've been a big team working in Taiwan. And that's what you can see about the fruit of your work. But I thank you that I've had this opportunity in my life to live there and be there. And hopefully, God willing, can go back next February. So thank you very much, and may God bless you.